Welcome to our prayer line tonight. Before we get started, let us look into the Word of God for a few minutes. If you remember, over the last weeks, we have been going through a series of the visionary church, the church that Jesus instituted upon this earth. And we have been going through four different topics. Well, first was the visionary, the vision of Christ's supremacy. We looked at the vision of Christ's leadership. And then we looked at the visionary faith and the power of having visionary faith. And then finally, we looked at the visionary giving and its power. So, talking about visionary church, my thinking was to come back and understand a little bit more about what is a church. Oru sabha endo annu namukku ichirondu manasilakkumbo it will be very nice. I just thought, just go back to the basic foundation of the church, because sometimes we look at the bigger things, but we are not understanding the basic structure of what a church is. So tonight I want to speak or share with you a few things about what is a church. If you have your Bibles, can you open to the book of Hebrews chapter 5? Hebrews chapter 5, we are going to read a few verses. Just to speak about coming back to the foundation of what the church is. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, and we will read and we will go into chapter 6 and read the first three verses. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 3. Can somebody, if you have your Bibles, can you please read that? Hebrews 5, 12 to Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 3. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes not only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised for to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism and laying of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. The Word of God speaks about the first principles, knowing the first principles of the oracles of God. Many times we are so much familiar with the concept of the church that we truly do not understand the importance and the need why God has allowed the church to be upon this earth. So if the question comes about what is a church, and we ask somebody, just imagine that you call up like five people from the street. We ask them, what is a church? Immediately you'll get some answers like, oh, the church is a building, you know, that is a church where people gather. It is a structure. Or someone will say a church is where priests will come and assist in the service, or it will, some sacraments are done, or there are holidays that are happening. So now speaking, we will get a variety of answers. When we are talking about Christians, those who have come to the faith, and ask them about the same question about the church, they will have different ideas regarding the identity of a church and functioning of a church. Many people are very much they are very loyal to their brand of the church. There are different denominations, there are different brands, different institutions, and they are very loyal to them. Some people are regarding the functioning of the church, they are more towards one side or the other. Some people are giving more importance to the Word of God, and say that in a church, when we come, we need to hear the solid word of the God, of God, and we should be very quiet and we should be attentive to the word. And on the other side, there are people who say that it has to be very spirit-filled, you know. Or aradhane ila tigatanam. We have to be very spirit-filled when we come to the church. So it's a kind of a very different opinions of people. But it is always important for us to go back and understand the principle on which the church was instituted. So to examine, we need to go back to the place when the church started. And if we do not understand the reason why a church was formed, what happens is that we can drift away from the course, and we become something that Christ never planned the church to be. Many times, for many people, church is a place that you go on Sunday. You do not have job, so you get up in the morning, go there, spend some time and come back. It's more like attending. It's more like a performance. You go and see something and then you come back home. There is nothing beyond that. And for some of other people, it's become like a club. A church has become like a club, a membership, where you give your attendance or you give your membership fee and you go and enjoy. Just like somebody would go to a club and enjoy what the club is offering, we come to a church and enjoy certain things what the church is offering. But when we go back to the Word of God, we understand that that is not all, or that is not the objective of why a church was started at the first place. We need to understand, what is the whole purpose of gatherings? What is the meaning of the church? So, if to think about that, if you go back to the Bible, the first mention of the church is, we see that in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, where Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail over it or overcome it." So there are some things that we need to first of all be very clear, that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Number one, everywhere, wherever the true church is, it belongs to Jesus. And number two, Jesus takes the full responsibility of building the church, protecting the church, and empowering the church. That is the role of Jesus. He is the one who is building the church. He is the one who protects the church from attacks of the enemy. And he is the one who empowers the church or gives power for the church to move forward. It's not a man-made institution. Just like a family is not a man-made institution. It was evolved and created in the mind of God. A church was evolved and created in the mind of God. It is a divine endeavor and it cannot fail. One of the things I want to tell at the very beginning is the church cannot fail. Why? Because Jesus is in charge. He is the one who has the total responsibility of the church. Now, many times from our limited perspective, when we look around, we see that many churches fail. There are many churches that get shut down. Many churches are there. If you go all across Europe and the United Kingdom, and even in the United States, there are many churches that are shutting down. They are closing the doors. But that is not the whole picture. If you see, lift up our eyes and look worldwide, the universal church is being built. Christ is, even today, he is building the church. Even in the New Testament times, we know that the early church, they were facing threats from false teachers, people who come and give wrong teachings, and there was a threat. And some of the churches have never recovered from those false teachings. And throughout the ages, we know there are many false teachers who have brought about false doctrine, and false cults have taken institutions within all these centuries. It has happened. But I totally believe that God has always brings believers, new group of believers. And God is the one who raises up at every age, in every part of the world, in every time. God raises up his people and has locations all over the world. Many times there has been attacks against the church, persecutions against the church. But one of the thing is clear, that any persecution or any attack cannot stop the growth of the church. No attack can stop the growth of the church. So that is something we need to understand and totally understand that, you know, even persecutions or persecutors may try to kill people. In fact, the church has been built on the martyrs. We know that even among the 12 disciples of Jesus, only one, who was John the Apostle, died a natural death. Everybody else became a martyr for the Lord. But it is said that the blood of the martyrs becomes a seed for the church to grow. Wherever there has been persecutions, wherever there has been martyrdom, the church has grown and flourished. And that is something we need to understand about the church. So I want to tonight very quickly speak about four attributes of the church that we should keep in mind. As we move forward, I mean, God has instituted our church here in Charlotte. And there are four things that we should always never forget about why a church exists. It's not for anything else. We may have a lot of activities, different things. That is fine. That is absolutely fine. We do things for fellowship, for attracting non-believers. We do that for a lot of different things. But there are four attributes that we should never forget in a church. Number one, it is an amazing entity that has started. The church started with the coming of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the church grew. That was the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. And immediately when you come to Acts chapter 2, at the last verse of Acts chapter 2, it says that immediately Christ began his church building process. What did Christ do? It says that he added to their number daily or day by day those who are being saved. The Lord adds to the church those who are being saved on a daily basis. That is how Jesus, right then and on that day, with the 3,000 people and then that joined the church on day number one, along with the 120 disciples of Jesus. And from that then on, day after day, Jesus added to the church the people who were being saved. So one of the things that we need to understand, that the Holy Spirit is instrumental in touching the hearts of the people, and it is Jesus Christ who adds these saved people to the church. The church is built one individual at a time, where every person comes to Jesus, and as if the Lord is building a building, you know. In 1 Corinthians, we know that the church is compared to a building that God is making. So each of us, we come to Jesus when we are born again, when we accept Christ, when we invite him in our hearts, we become a child of God. It says that we become a living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4 says, we come to Jesus as to a living stone, which is been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. We are living stones as we are built as part of the building, which is the body, which is a church. Now in this building, we know that Christ is the cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of the church, on whom the church is built. And we know that the foundations has been laid with the apostles of Jesus Christ. But thereafter, the church is built by believers as living stones, and we are being built up to be a spiritual house. You can see that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses number 5. I'm not reading it out because of the lack of time, but you know, 1 Peter chapter 2, and we can see in verse number 5 that's how the church is being built. We are built as living stone. We are chosen of God, and we are built as a spiritual house. And that is one of the things that is very interesting, that we are all part of it. So, although we come to Jesus on an individual basis, we are joined together with other believers. Jesus never wanted his believers to live in isolation. It's always that he wants us to be joined together. The living stones are connected to one another. Just like a house is built, stone along with stone, connected, and as the house is built, the house of God is being built by the living stones that are connected with each other to form the temple in which God is dwelling. No one is left out. No one is out of place. Christ is building his church from day number one. The second aspect of a church that we understand, and this is also we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, is that the church is the holy priesthood of God. Not only it is a building, but it is a holy priesthood of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the priests were the only ones who were allowed access to God in the temple. No, the common people could not have access to God in the temple. The priests were the mediators between God and the people. And they were responsible for offering the sacrifices for worship. But at the same time, the priests were the ones who instructed the people with the word of God, the Torah. The priests were two things they used to do. They used to take the sacrifices from the people. They used to offer them to God. On the other side, they used to open the Torah and teach the people. There was going back and forth. They were the mediators between God and people. So today, how it is that under the new covenant, we who are the believers, we are the royal priesthood of God. Every believer who is in Christ, we are members of the royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, we are a royal priesthood. And under the new covenant, we have confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 speaks about that. We have that confidence. We can go into the very throne room of God, to enter into the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus. And we are members of the royal priesthood. So unlike the high priest in the time of the Old Testament, who could come to the Holy of Holies only once in a year on the day of the atonement, today we have constant access to God through prayer and worship. We can approach the very presence of God through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus. So as priests of God, we are intercessors between God and the people. So we go to God in prayer for those who need prayer. We are intercessors. Just like the priests of the Old Testament, we are intercessors between the Lord and those who do not. But at the same time, just as the priests explain the word of God to the people, today we explain the purpose of God through the gospel that we have within us, and we pray for their salvation. We take the names of people and we present them to God and we pray. So we bring sacrifices. As I said, in the Old Testament, the priests bring sacrifices. Today also we are bringing sacrifices to God. What are the sacrifices that we bring? They are spiritual sacrifices. Romans 12:1 says that we are offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, which means that we surrender our entire lives to Christ. The scriptures also mentions other sacrifices that we offer to God. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 15 and 16 speaks about offering sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice of doing good things, and sacrifice of sharing. We do all the sacrifices as a priest of God. And all this will help to define what the church is and what it is that we do. So I mentioned there are four attributes. So two of them I already mentioned. One is that it started with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and we are built as a spiritual house. Number two, we are a holy priesthood. Number three is that the true church is composed of people who belong to God. We belong to God. In 1 Peter 2:9, Apostle Peter describes, we are a chosen generation or a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. And we are a people of God's possession. We are the chosen people of God. And we need to understand that as His chosen people, that choosing was done by God. God did the choosing. He took initiative in our salvation. His choice was not based on anything that we had special, but because He loved us so much. He made us a holy nation. So today there is no national or ethnic barrier between any of us. There should not be. There should be no racial distinctions in the body of Christ. We are all one in Him. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are the royal priesthood. We are also the royalty. We are not ordinary people. You know, when Christ returns to the earth as the King of Kings, Revelation chapter 3 verse 21 says, we are going to be ruling and reigning with Christ forever. We are royalty today. We belong to Him. We are the children of God. The fourth aspect of our church, and I will close with this, is that the task of the church. What is the task that we are to do as a church of God? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, it says that after speaking about all the epithets that we are, he says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. And then it says what we have to do. It says that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, the task of a church is to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, not only we exalt and worship God together, but we who have received mercy from God, we have been entrusted with the gospel that can save people who are trapped in the darkness of sin. People need to hear about God's love, the love that has saved us. And people need to hear about Christ's sacrifice on their behalf on the cross. And we have that privilege of telling them that forgiveness is possible for those who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So as I'm closing, let me also say that this is what the church is. It's good that sometimes we are very happy with worship, not happy with worship. We are so much of we have so much opinions, but at the end of the day, we have been called to proclaim the praises of Christ to other people. You know, many times we take everything for granted, everything becomes very familiar, and we lose the focus. And we fail to see how precious the church is for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His life for the church. He shed His blood for the church. This is very precious to the Lord. And we as a part of the church, we need to understand that on this earth there is no perfect churches. But there will be a day when we will all be united in heaven. We'll be free from sin. And we will be free to worship and adore the Lord forever and ever. And until that time, we have to be together. We have to understand who we are and whose we are. So as I'm closing here, let me just tell all of us is that we are royalty. We have been called by God. We have been mandated. And it is the Lord who started this, and He is the one who is going to finish it off. He is the one who is responsible, and we have to really come in the presence of God and say, Lord, that I will be a part of the kingdom building. I will be part of the church that You are building upon this earth. And I pray that let this be our desire today. Can we close our eyes and look to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Father, Lord, for your goodness. You are such a wonderful God. Lord, thank you for making us part of the church, the great secret that was revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for making us part of the bride, of the body, of the building of Christ. Father, we want to thank you because you have chosen us at various times. You have called us and you want us to be the part as an active member of the kingdom of God. I pray that let us never lose the reason why we exist and we belong. Thank you, Father, for holding us in great esteem, and thank you that you are doing great things through us. We pray and we bless you this evening. We give you the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.